time again for BT's Beginner Triathlete of the Month podcast. This time around, we talk with a 41-year-old husband and father from Leawood, Kansas, who, after years of racing sprints, Olympic, and half-iron distance tries, was seeking to become an Ironman. Peter Pollan found that there are bumps in the training road that are perhaps more significant than what you actually go through on race day. Let's hear from Peter Pollan, our Beginner Triathlete of the Month. Well, Pete, first of all, thank you very much for your time.
Oh, you're welcome, Kevin.
Tell everybody about kind of the history of you doing this Ironman. I mean, it wasn't an easy road. When you signed up, you probably didn't know the obstacles that you'd face over the course of the next year or so of training.
That is true. When you sign up for an Ironman event, you have to usually sign up for these events, you know, well in advance, because they usually sell out in sometimes, you know, in a matter of hours, if not minutes, especially the ones here in the United States. So I signed up for this event literally a year in advance, and knowing that I want to be training fall probably for about, you know, 6 or 7 months later, getting into my Ironman plan. And along the way, obviously, like you just mentioned, I did have to overcome some obstacles. One of them was a major obstacle where I had shoulder surgery, which is just doing normal chores in the backyard, standing on a ladder with, you know, with muddy shoes on, and fell off and tore my rotator cuff, and at the same time also tore a tendon in my arm. And not knowing I did that for several weeks, I went to the doctor, and immediately after having checked out, I had to go in for surgery literally a week later. And they went in six different places arthroscopically and had to repair my shoulder. And it was a long road after that, because I could not use my arm for literally 6 to 8 weeks afterwards, and which was no running, basically no physical activity besides walking. And then swimming was definitely out of the question for at least 12 weeks. And this happened in June. Obviously, June to November was the time frame that I was supposed to be, you know, a full bore Ironman training. So you
very easily could have thrown in the towel right there and just said, "Well, it's not going to work out this time around." Why didn't you do that?
Well, because it's something that I've always done and I knew I could do. Swimming has never been my strong suit, but I knew if I took it slow and easy, I was going to use swimming to my advantage in terms of keeping my heart rate low and really saving my energy for the remainder of the day. Swimming is probably only, what, 10 or 15% of any triathlon, especially of one of that distance. So I knew I was going to have to concentrate. I've always been a strong bicyclist, so I knew I'd have that going for me, and I'd have my energy saved if I could just make it out of the water. And that was my goal, just make it out of the water in probably about an hour and a half time. And I came up a little bit short of that, but I did come out of the water, you know, refreshed and ready for the rest of the day, knowing that it'd be, you know, another 12 hours out there on the course.
So during the training, you had to keep yourself reasonably fit while that you're going through the pain of the shoulder surgery and waiting for that to heal and going through the rehab. Was it that stationary bike? Was it being on the trainer that helped you do that?
It was a culmination of things. Obviously, I was working out of town, so I was away from the house, and then the stationary bike. I was living a couple hours away from the house. So what I did, I actually walked a lot of country roads. Fortunate for me, I was in pretty good shape before the surgery. So the rest was probably going to did me some good, kind of to prepare some of the muscles, because it was in June, so I did probably get done 3 or 4 races leading up to that. I knew at some point in the season, even without the surgery, knowing that I got injured, I was going to have to take a couple of weeks off, because the season was going to be a long season for me anyhow, going from March to November. I mean, not too many people can do that without some type of rest in between. This rest, I just happened to be longer, and like you said, I did utilize the stationary bike quite a bit, and I did a lot of walking. I walked for, you know, 2 hours at a time sometimes at night.
I wonder if that was good for you in a sense. I mean, you touch on that a little bit. Mentally, was it good for you to kind of refresh? Because I know your training over the past 3 years has been pretty steady.
It has been, and I'm now in my 40s, and I've never had some of the little injury, nagging injuries that I've had in the last, you know, 3-4 years. I've never had those, you know, leading up to that point at all. I mean, I don't really recall maybe 1 or 2 minor injuries, but, you know, being young, you can kind of bounce back always a lot quicker. The injury that I sustained, yeah, it got you mentally prepared. I mean, when you do that much training, no one is ever 100% anyhow. That just comes with the territory. I mean, injuries is a part of the sport, and, you know, It's all a matter of timing when you're going to peak and when you're going to race.
So when you show up on race day and you're out there in the water, this is Ironman Arizona, are you excited? Are you nervous? Or do you feel kind of like this is a test that you've studied so well for that it's just a matter of taking it?
I think it would be the latter. I mean, I've mentally prepared knowing that I was going to do an Ironman and complete it. Almost my whole triathlon career. My career started back in end of 93, and I really got going in 94 in Florida. And I trained back then with a couple people that were doing Ironmans, and I've always wanted to do one. Never really attempted one. I've half-heartedly attempted to do one before, and it came way, way short. But like you said, I've really studied and know what I thought was going to take the finish. And it is a test of your mental strength. I knew I could physically do it, just knowing what I've done the last couple of years with really stepping up my training and doing a lot of half Ironmans. And I've done, five half Ironmans in the last 3 years, and I've done what I think pretty well in a couple of them. So I just knew I could take it to that next level, and I would finish. Like you said, I've mentally prepared for it, and I knew I'd get to that stage, you know, somewhere between the 15 and 18 mile mark on the run. And if I knew I got to that point, I would be able to finish. And I got to that point, and like you said, and come race day, no, I wasn't nervous. I stood around, watched a lot of people jumping up and down and nervous, and you know, I've always, you know, relied on some of my inner strength and my God, and just praying, just, you know, taking through this day. I knew it was going to be a long day, you know, from sunup to sundown. And like you said, you run those races through your mind. But yes, I think totally mentally prepared for that race.
So when you look at the whole day, and I know that's a long day. It doesn't matter if you're an age grouper or elite or what. That you're out there for a long time. When was the first time that you were really challenged in a serious way? I mean, in a way where you said, I've got to buckle down now to get through this.
Oh, it came early in the race. I mean, obviously, swimming is not my strong suit, and being in that water, the water is 63 degrees, and I did not have a long sleeve wetsuit on, but I did have headgears and gloves and footies on, and the only time I thought about quitting that race was in the swim, because it got so cold and I could not extend my arms. My breathing got short, and not, I want to say panic set in, but it wasn't what I was really prepared for. I thought I'd be in the water having a little more tranquility and swimming, you know, behind the leaders and being able to do stuff on my own. But I was on my own, and like I said, those were the only times I had thoughts of quitting. And come to find out, after the race, close to 60 people did pull themselves out of the water and out of the race due to the coldness. And it was a test when I came to Transition 1, how cold it was. It looked also real, because people were bundled up in blankets and thermal blankets, and I saw a lot of blue lips and a lot of shaking, and I did not want to stick around to see that. So I said, I just got to get warm, get my shoes on, get on my bike. And my bike's always been my safe haven, and I thought about that the whole time. That's what got me through the swim. Get on the bike, then your day will be enjoyable. And I finally got to that point. But it was a strength, again, of not endurance, but of mental fortitude.
So the swim, I guess if people think of Ironman Arizona and they hear all the stories about people puking on the bike or the run, mm-hmm. because they're so hot, and I guess people wouldn't figure that the swim would be so cold.
Well, I guess the water comes down. Obviously, Flagstaff is only a couple hours away from there, and it is wintertime in Arizona, and this day, the morning temperature was 48, and it got into the high 70s. So it did have a huge temperature swing, and it probably took me about, you know, not that long on the bike, 10, 15 miles to get warmed up. But once you got to mile 50, you know, the sweat factory, you know, started working, and, you know, it had a good sweat going for a good couple hours on the bike.
So when was the next point where you really had a challenge? The bike went pretty well?
The bike went really, really well. I probably could have literally biked 200 miles that day. Like I said, the bike is my safe haven. And for this course, it was set up perfectly for me and for the spectators. It was a three-loop course. So knowing that I had, you know, a bunch of family there, they could always keep my eye on me. You're always worried about, you know, road wrecks and motorcycles and, you know, it's a looped course, you know, where it gets kind of tight. But for me, I just took it all in. I mean, you were able to see the race leaders, and along the way, you saw people with different handicaps, and And for me, it all came into focus that day. And again, I had a sense of calmness when I saw Rudy on the bike on my second lap. It was his, I think, just coming out of the out of transition there. And for me, I rode with him for a couple minutes, you know, gave him the high five, the peace signs that I normally do, and it was just have that moment where you just, you know, stop and reflect and see how lucky you really are to have these abilities to be out there. And from that standpoint, I had a great bike. I cannot complain.
Now, Rudy, for people who don't know, explain who he is.
Rudy has prosthetic legs. And following the Ironman Championship just a month earlier, he missed the bike cutoff by 8 minutes and was not allowed to go on to run to finish that race. And for me, knowing that he came back just a month later and to see the smile on his face and knowing that he was going to be able to make this bike cutoff, if just seeing him and looking at the time of the day that he would finish, like I said, I just said a prayer and said, God, just thank you for my abilities to get me to this point. You know, I've gone through, like I said, probably 15, 16 years and really never suffered a big injury where I you know, that's something that he has experienced.
Yeah, boy, I tell you, I can so relate to that because there's only one race that I've done in my career in endurance sports where I was completely glycogen depleted and came out of it not as a result of getting fuel in me, but as a result of some kind of inspiration that overcame that. And for me, that was at the Boston Marathon, seeing Amy Palmero Winters. She runs a 3:04 marathon and lost a leg in a motorcycle accident. And here I was at mile 16 and was really suffering, and I saw her. And she had fallen down, and her shoulder was bleeding, and she had slipped in the rain, and she got back up and kept going. And I thought, holy mackerel, I've got to buckle down. And so, yeah, that's really, that really gets your blood pumping, doesn't it?
It really does, and it really gives you an inner strength to keep going. And knowing that you're out there competing, and it wasn't for me. I was nowhere near going to, you know, a place in my age division, and I obviously knew that going into it. And I just reached down, and like I said, I said a prayer. I said, God, just be with me, and just, you know, have made people see God in me and through me, and see the smile and see the, you know, the rejoicing I'm having out here just to compete, and just knowing that, you know, we should all be thankful for the ability just to be out here to enjoy this day and do what we like to do and have our families with us.
So when you get to the run, how long does the kind of celebration continue? And then, I mean, at what point does it not feel like a celebration and that you're going to have to buckle down again?
Really, after seeing Rudy, my celebration lasted all the way until I got back to the condo. I knew I had difficulties on the run at some point. Like I said earlier, again, I thought it would happen between mile 15, 18. My difficulties came about mile 12. I ran the first, again, the run course was a three-loop course. Again, very spectator-friendly. So my wife and family were there watching me. I ran good the first lap, first 8 miles, which I thought I would coming off the bike. But after that, I stopped and ate something I probably shouldn't have eaten. I ate some pretzels with salt on it. Kind of upset my stomach. Ran a little bit. And threw up a little bit and ran a little bit, and I did that for a couple of miles. And I just had in my mind thinking, man, if I keep throwing up, I'm not going to have, you know, the hydration that I need to complete this race. So I literally just buckled down, and like I said, I the smile was never off my face after seeing Rudy. I walked a couple of miles. I saw a couple of friends that were from Kansas City that were down there, so I was able to run with them for, you know, a quarter mile or half mile just to keep going. But I was at that point knowing that I was going to finish, so I just did not stop throwing up. And I did stop. I wasn't able to drink anything. Even after I crossed the finish line, I had some water to throw up again, and I even threw up when I got back to the condo. But I was on such a high of just completing the Ironman, knowing that I completed, my spirit was high all the way through. So,
tell me about the last half mile. What's the experience like knowing that the finish line is coming?
It's something that I would not think completing an Ironman you know you'd reach that finish line, but like you said, it's crossing the finish line. But for this race and all the spectators that were there and the ones that hung out until midnight, I crossed the finish line about, you know, 9 p.m. their time. And for that last half mile, you hear the roar of the crowd. They have big TV screens up so you can actually see yourself coming around the bend. And, you know, people high-fiving you for a quarter of a mile. Yeah, it is. It is like your feet are not hitting the ground as you cross that finish line. There's no pain in your body at that point. It really feels like you float across the finish line.
What would you say to other people on BT, on beginner triathlete, that are thinking about doing an Ironman? Any advice that you would give them?
The advice that I would give them is get mentally prepared for an all-day event. Don't go in it with a lot of high expectations, because that can really let you down. I go in there with, you know, a calmness in your heart, and just be prepared. I mean, be prepared for the run. Don't overexert yourself at any one point, and just have a steady race is what I think was key. So don't go through any peaks and valleys, and just carry yourself through a steady rhythm, and you can become an Ironman.
And stay off ladders while you're training.
Of course, yes.
Well, Pete, congratulations. It's a cool story, and I know that's like getting a college degree, going through all of that and crossing that finish line.
It is definitely a big notch in your belt. Yeah, yes, it is.
Thank you, Pete.
You got it, Kevin.
That's Pete Paulin, our Beginner Triathlete of the Month. For BT, I'm Kevin Patrick.